Hello, and welcome once again to NaturalDocRadio.com. I am Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, and I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And as usual here on Natural Doc Radio, we are set to bring you the kind of information we know can help you to improve your good health. Hi, Dr. Slavin.
Hi, Janet.
And as I mentioned, that we are always here to discuss with our listeners the idea of maintaining your good health through your diet, through exercise, through lifestyle changes, and through the use of high-quality supplements. And one of the areas that we're going to discuss today are the things that you put on your skin. And a lot of times people don't think that anything they're putting on their skin is going to have an effect on their health. But that's not quite true.
Well, Janet, as a physician over the years, and it's been many years, I've noticed the failings of mainstream medicine in many areas. Despite the fact that they claim to treat a lot of problems, how successful are those treatments really? So you start investigating other approaches to different things. You investigate other products. You start realizing that using organic products is probably a better choice. And that goes across the board. You want to make sure everything you're using is as safe as possible, and by safe meaning it's free of impurities, and who knows what they're putting in stuff, because if you read the label and it's got a long label, you know it's stuff you should avoid. Even in soap, they put in a lot of ingredients that probably should be avoided. So then when we came across this article, I said, this is overreach by the FDA, in my opinion. And then you have to think, and this has been my observation over the years, when the FDA comes against something that's natural, they're just trying to protect the competition. You know, people are learning more and more about the benefits of natural products. And what bothers me even more is when a company says, by using this natural product that's been used for hundreds of years probably, or longer, and you say that it's going to improve the health of your skin or the health of your body in some way, now it becomes a drug. This is their way of gaining control of the situation. All of a sudden, it's a drug. And, you know, I think in that respect, then every food you eat is a drug. And you know who said that first? Hippocrates.
Okay, and if every food is a drug, you surely want to go for the highest quality foods you can possibly access. Very important. It's really interesting because this article talking about Dr. Bronner's in particular, they're referring to it as relatively new to the marketplace, and that's not true. Dr. Bronner's soaps have been around for many decades and have a reputation for purity and quality that many of the mass market soaps absolutely do not bring to the consumer.
Well, I like the, and I'm saying this facetiously, I like the statement the FDA stated about this product in a letter they sent. They sent a warning letter that magic all-one fresh-pressed virgin coconut oil had suddenly transformed into an unapproved drug based on one simple claim indicated on its packaging. By selling its coconut oil with the stated claim, maintains the FDA, Dr. Bronner is engaging in the sale and distribution of an illegal drug.
So it's very, very interesting. So Dr. Bronner's has moved into the magic all-one fresh-pressed virgin coconut oil. And when the FDA made a statement or informed them by letter that they were making claims that were suitable just to be applied to a drug, Dr. Bronner's removed it from the label. But what the area of contention was, lauric acid, and MCTs, medium-chain triglycerides, which have been researched by quality facilities around the world. And these substances, the MCTs and the lauric acid, are very well known to improve cholesterol. And what they do is improve the HDL-LDL ratio.
I have a problem with this because here again, you're dealing with a natural product. And again, as Hippocrates said, let food be your medicine and let medicine be your food. Food does have tremendous effects on our body, both good and bad. So when you point out the good that a food has, then they tell you, oh, now it's become a drug. Why don't they say it the other way around? Maybe the drugs become a food. The way some people take their drugs, it certainly looks like it.
Unfortunately, and when you start to understand the mainstream medical viewpoint that by manipulating certain systems and functions within your body with a specific chemical, rather than supporting the point of normalizing a body function, changing with a drug actually has repercussions in many other systems and functions in your body. So you're not overall improving health, but merely addressing symptoms. And unfortunately, that focus tends to lead to many other problems.
Well, here's the fallacy in the FDA's position. They're saying they take the position that only drugs are capable of affecting human health. Therefore, anything that affects human health is a drug. That means sugar is a drug. And I think that would be far better for them to go after sugar than to go after this coconut oil.
Well, for sure, when you take a look at the contents in sucralose, that most certainly would come under the category of drug. It's very interesting. Here's a statement, and it says, the FDA's position, based on this claim, is that Dr. Bronner's magic all-one fresh-pressed virgin coconut oil is unsafe unless Dr. Bronner's is willing to pay off the agency to declare it safe with and doing that through categorizing it as a drug, which means they would have to go through a very expensive new drug application, very expensive, incurring millions of dollars in expenditures to be able to categorize coconut oil as safe. Now, it's very interesting because coconut oil has been used around the globe for centuries to be supportive of good health. And now we know through the research exactly why it was so beneficial for health. And the FDA wants to take that information because you say it achieves good health by changing the cholesterol ratio. Now we have to declare it a drug because we know how it works to keep you healthy.
Okay, a little back, a little information about the FDA. The people that work there eventually want to work for the pharmaceutical industry.
It's the training ground, kind of?
Where you have the high-paying jobs. And of course, clearly they're protecting the competition. You know, the minute you hear, you know, one of the biggest selling categories of drugs is cholesterol-lowering drugs. So the minute you have a product that they say is going to improve your cholesterol, the pharmaceutical industry, you know, perks up, and they said, we can't have competition. And then they tell the FDA, you better look into this and stop them from making claims. But they're not making claims. You know, this is something that has been observed about what happens when people use these products. It's not that the products are deliberately taken to lower cholesterol. They just happen to notice when people take these products, their cholesterol improves.
A lot of times people use these products to support satiety. So if they're following possibly a diet that is monitoring the amount of fat that they're consuming. They are very, very successful in including coconut oil in their diet, even though it is a fat, the fat is a beneficial fat. And when you start comparing, let's talk about statin drugs. Let's talk about how when you consume statin drugs, you are at risk for rhabdomyolysis, which always makes me wonder, what were they thinking once they found that the statin drugs contribute to this muscle breakdown? Your heart is a muscle, and you are at risk for breaking down muscle tissue when you consume a statin drug. So the idea is that you're protecting yourself from a heart attack, but you are putting your heart muscle at risk.
When, let me ask you this question, Janet. When you see a commercial on TV or you read on the cereal box in the supermarket that this is heart healthy or helps prevent against heart diseases, I think they say that. That means that aisle is full of drugs? Is that what the FDA is saying?
Well, and now this is a very, very interesting comparison because the cereal box can say heart healthy, and they're saying that possibly with the perspective that the fiber content is such that you're going to balance cholesterol levels in your blood, fats in your blood, possibly triglycerides. But you can't say that about coconut oil. Very, very interesting comparison of how the FDA is treating different companies. So they might treat Kellogg's differently than they treat Dr. Bronner's just because of the corporate status. And very interesting.
It seems to me selective enforcement of whatever rules they're going by.
Certainly does.
But here's how the public is harmed by the FDA, because now companies can't talk about their products and tell you all the good things that a product has. They're not making any claims. They're just reciting the literature. For example, we've known, there's a new book out, and the name escapes me. I could look it up in a second. But the point is, it was a book about all the long-lived peoples in the world and where they come from. And they come from the areas of highest medication consumption, obviously. Of course, I'm joking.
I hope so.
they come from eating good diets.
That's indigenous societies, possibly?
Right. And so those areas are probably FDA illegal now because you go there and you live longer. this is how ridiculous it is. I want to look up that book because it's important to
Okay, while you're looking up that book, I'm going to be talking about what we're discussing here today. You can find in the scientific literature, as I mentioned, from credible facilities around the world. In an animal study, the MCTs, the medium chain triglycerides in coconut oil, were found to lower serum cholesterol in rats and calves. And at one point, some of the livestock growers were going to be feeding their herds certain coconut foods with the idea that it was health supporting for the animals and was going to make them gain weight faster because of the fat content. And what they found was instead of gaining weight, the animals lost weight, were trimmer, leaner, and their cholesterol levels were very much optimized. So they lowered the cholesterol in the liver and other tissues. MCTs have demonstrated the benefit to platelet aggregation, and they helped, it's been shown that they've been helping to prevent atherosclerosis and ultimately that impairment of circulation that is so common in Americans that leads to a diagnosis of cardiovascular disease.
So so the name of that book is The Blue Zones. Have you ever heard of that one?
I haven't.
And I want to repeat some of the highlighted portions in this book. Scientific studies suggest that only about 25% of how long we live is dictated by our genes.
Thank heavens for that statement.
And this was from a famous study of Danish twins. The other 75% is determined by our lifestyles and the everyday choices we make. I think people have to realize that. They didn't mention how many prescriptions you take, by the way. The brutal reality about aging is that it has only an accelerator pedal. We have yet to discover whether a brake exists for people. The name of the game is to keep from pushing the accelerator pedal so hard that we speed up the aging process. So it's a good way of thinking of it. So what are some of the things that would speed up the aging process?
Sugar. Poor sleep, poor quality water, exposure to synthetic chemical preservatives, artificial colors, poor quality nutrients that have been contaminated, foods that have been contaminated with pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, genetic modification to our foods certainly will contribute to an accelerated aging process because they affect your digestive tract and you don't absorb the nutrients as well.
Here's an interesting highlight they have here. Turmeric is one-fifth as powerful as cisplatin, which is one of the most powerful drugs in chemotherapy. Turmeric is an anti-inflammatory antioxidant.
Okay.
Uh-oh, we just made it a drug.
Right. Okay, the public is deliberately kept in the dark about the health benefits of ordinary foods like the coconut oil that we're talking about today and various substances that may be extracted from these foods. Very much part of the enforcement of unjust regulatory requirements by an agency with an anti-nutrition agenda. I'm going to say they have an anti-health agenda. So the Food and Drug Administration, you think that they are looking out as a government agency, they're looking out for the welfare of the citizens and what the citizens are going to be consuming? No, they're looking out for corporate welfare instead.
And again, they're not the Food and Drug Administration. We pay that our taxes pay their salaries. They're out there to protect us, but instead they're protecting, as you just said, the pharmaceutical companies. We've just been talking about how the FDA is deciding unilaterally whether or not a food is a food or a food is a drug. And when does a food become a drug? It becomes a drug when it keeps us healthy, because only drugs can affect our health, not food.
Well, according to the FDA, if we say that a particular food, and we were talking about coconut oil, when the research shows exactly how that food does keep us healthy, and we say that, then it must be a drug. And so as we research all of the fine quality foods that we know about from around the world, as we research the very, very specific, helpful herbal substances. Now, when I say herbal substances, I'm talking about the things that we season our food with. And if we say that they have a health benefit, then apparently that herbal seasoning must be a drug, according to the FDA.
So continuing that line of reasoning, this is why the American public is being kept in the dark about so many health benefits from food, because they're afraid if you're being told that a food is healthy, then it becomes a drug, and then the FDA attacks them and makes them go through trials if they want to continue to say it. It's funny, though, that the studies have already been done on these products. We know these products are healthy and helpful to our health. Now, how many people know about homeopathy?
It's very interesting because very few people really understand what homeopathic medicine is. A lot of the people that I speak to refer to using vitamins and minerals and herbal formulas as homeopathic, and they'll ask me, do I know a homeopathic doctor? And the truth of the matter is they're looking for an alternative or complementary practitioner.
So the principle of homeopathy is that you can take a product and dilute it a billion times, that it no longer even resembles the molecule of the original product, but its electromagnetic signature is supposedly still within the water that remains, because basically they say that it's water or an alcohol, and the people who promote homeopathy said, and it's very effective, and yet mainstream medicine has always said that homeopathy really has no benefit, it doesn't work, doesn't do anything, and yet now the FDA is concerned that homeopathy needs to be regulated because right now it's available over the counter.
Very important for people to understand that the original substance has been diluted so significantly that there is no longer any ability to identify that original substance by its molecular structure. And so we are venturing into an area of possibly energetic medicine, a specific signature, as you mentioned, Dr. Slavin, that our bodies are able to identify.
But my real concern here is that you can see that through regulation, our rights are being taken away from us. Our right to get homeopathic medications. The FDA has decided that everything that affects health now should come under their control.
They already have control of homeopathic medications. They are able to inspect any manufacturing facility that makes homeopathic medications with a specific control. Homeopathy has always been regulated by the FDA, but apparently the pharmaceutical companies are possibly a little jealous of the new interest in homeopathic medications because those medicines have virtually no side effects.
Well, here's a common statement. When you don't understand why something is the way it is, follow the money.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason I can think of as to why the FDA all of a sudden is coming down on homeopathic medicine is it must be hurting the profits of the pharmaceutical industry.
Okay, so the FDA is set to have hearings on the possibility of additional regulations to homeopathic medicine, and they are going to have these hearings on the 20th and 21st of April. And it's very, very important about making your position known with regard to the safety and effectiveness of homeopathic formulations that you've used.
I mean, if the FDA were really doing their job and wanting to keep people safe from the harmful effects of either medications or foods, the most dangerous food in the supermarket, as you mentioned earlier, is sugar. That's the one food that they should ban, if possible. But they don't even get into sugar. They even promote all the sugar substitutes as being perfectly healthy. So the FDA is not operating in the public's best interest in many cases, but they shouldn't be allowed to take away our freedom of choice as to other products that are alternatives to prescription drugs. And by the way, in my practice, I very rarely prescribe prescription drugs. And you know why? I read the adverse effects of these drugs.
And you know what, Dr. Slavin? So many doctors, when their patients say they read the adverse effects from the pharmacy where they picked up their drug, they'll say, you shouldn't be reading that. It puts it something in your head.
Well, here's what it means. When you read the adverse effects and you see how potentially dangerous these drugs are, although clearly a lot of people take these drugs and nothing happens to them, but sometimes something bad happens to people. Over 100,000 deaths a year are attributable to the appropriately used drug. In other words, you took the drug, you did it as prescribed, and something bad happened. So to me, a drug should be the treatment of last resort, not first resort, especially when you read all the adverse effects. You look for other things. So what are some of the other things you can do? Well, it all depends on what the drug is meant for. But let's say the drug is meant to lower your blood sugar because you're an adult onset diabetic. Lifestyle change is the most important thing you can do to correct that problem. Weight loss, exercise, and there are many supplements, which I can't name because then it'll be called a drug.
Uh-huh. Because they have very specific effect on your blood sugar.
And it could be very helpful to correct it. The same thing about cholesterol-lowering supplements. Didn't they have a big thing about red yeast rice at one time?
They tried to get it off the market because they said it was in the category of drug because it was a statin. And when you think about that thought process, because
they turned a natural product into a drug. This is what they're doing.
Synthesized statins, now the natural substance that actually had that similar molecular structure needed to be called a drug. It is very, very weird thinking. And unfortunately, the population isn't very well aware of these details.
So it's just important that all of us that are interested in staying healthy understand that, as I mentioned earlier as well, 75% of what we do has nothing to do with our genes, but it has to do with keeping us healthy and slowing the aging process. It's about lifestyle and how you eat, and not about taking drugs. And we don't want to lose our freedom of choice regarding all these different areas. And one way to keep up to this information, there's some websites we look at regularly. One is Mercola.com. That's named after Dr. Mercola. A great website, good information there. Another one that has interesting information is naturalnews.com. Janet, any others that come to mind that you like to look at?
Okay, I look at WestonAPrice.org, and with regard to our discussion of statins and cholesterol, I often refer patients to their myths and truths about cholesterol and the simple sentence that those with high cholesterol tend to have a longer lifespan. I think that comes as shocking to many people.
And by the way, the study never showed that high cholesterol is associated with a greater incidence of heart attacks, because people with the low cholesterol had just as many heart attacks in those studies, except they just cherry-picked the information they wanted to let the public have so they could sell a drug that lowers cholesterol.
And it's interesting because you've kind of caught me off guard, Dr. Slavin, because there are so many different places, environmental working group. That's a website that I get the emails regularly from them. There are so many different websites that I get regular emails from.
And here's another approach is if you have a particular question, Google that question, and you will see a lot of places come up that answer the question. Now, you got to look at where the answers are coming from.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes they're coming from the government, and they have their own position on things, and then then you want to look at the places that are into more natural approaches, and they have a different take on things.
I get some information from drugs.com. So there's usually a very, very nice profile of information with regard to different drugs and who are the patients who might consider using this appropriately, and very, very clear information with regard to the side effects associated with different drugs. I mentioned environmental working group, RaySahilian.com. Dr. Ray Sahilian is in California and usually has a very, very nice, very broad view of things. He'll talk about the benefits and the negatives associated with using certain drugs for a particular health challenge. And if there's good research on natural things, he talks about that. And if there isn't any convincing information or he's unfamiliar with the research, he tells people, you know, he doesn't know about that. So it's very, very easy to read, very focused and complete.
And lastly, and this is repetitious of me, if we don't keep up and be aware of all these things, how the government is usurping our freedoms, then we're going to lose them. So you got to keep up and look at these sites. Listen to our programs on this website, too, because we'll bring you this information.
Every week there's an update. And so I thank all of our listeners for coming to visit us at naturaldocradio.com, and keep checking in because we update this information on a regular basis. Thanks for listening.